Dick Schofield Sr. Interview Part 1 of 3. On behalf of SABR, the Society of American Baseball Research, we are interviewing Mr. Dick Schofield the Elder for our oral history project. My name's Steve Jaremko, and today is April 1st, 2021. I'm talking on the phone with Dick, who is at his home in Springfield, Illinois. Dick played 19 years in the major leagues from 1953 through 1971. Signing as a bonus baby right out of high school, Dick joined the St. Louis Cardinals in June 1953 as a utility infielder. Dick was traded to the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1958 and was instrumental in the Pirates' World Championship season of 1960. Leaving the Bucks in 1965, Dick played for the San Francisco Giants, the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the St. Louis Cardinals for a second time, the Boston Red Sox, the Cardinals again for a third time, and finally, the Milwaukee Brewers. Dick played on two World Series teams, the 1960 Pirates and the 68 Cardinals. Dick's family is renowned for its athletes. Dick's father, John Ducky Schofield, was a minor league ball player. Dick's son, Dick Schofield Jr., played 14 years as a star shortstop for the California Angels, New York Mets, Toronto Blue Jays, and Los Angeles Dodgers. Dick's grandson, Jason Wirth, became a power-hitting outfielder, playing 15 years for the Toronto Blue Jays, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Washington Nationals. All three Schofield family members were one-time Dodgers. Now, let's learn even more about Dick Schofield. So with that, I'd like to just go ahead and begin, and I got some general questions we'd like to ask you to, so that the listeners can learn a little bit about you. And so we'll start off with, what was your given name at birth?
My given name is John Richard Schofield.
And just curious, is there, you always liked using Dick? Or did you, as Dick in, when you were in grade school?
Yeah, everybody called me Dick until I got to play in the big leagues. And when I was at St. Louis, my dad and mom would come down, and I'd call my dad Ducky all the time. I called my dad Ducky all his life. So they figured if he was Ducky, I was Ducky. So hardly anybody called me Dick. I mean, they called me a lot of things, but they called me, they called me Ducky most of the time.
Oh, okay. And how did your dad get the nickname Ducky?
You know, I'm not too sure. He was from outside of Philadelphia. He lived in like Linwood, Chester area, right outside of Philly. And it seemed like he told me one time that there was a bunch of ducks. They called them Scooby Ducks. And so I guess that he got. I never knew him by anything but Ducky. I mean, he didn't even have a middle name. He was just John Schofield.
Oh.
And so he, he was Ducky to me all my life.
So was everybody in your family athletes? Did you have siblings?
No, I was the only child, but, of course, my kids, of course, Dick played in the big leagues, and he was a fantastic shortstop with the Angels. And my oldest daughter, Kim, she was in track, and she, in high school, she won the state track meet by herself a couple times, and she ended up at the University of Florida. She went to the Olympic trials, and she went to Russia and Germany and all those places when she was about 15. So, she's pretty good. And then my other daughter, she just wasn't that interested. I mean, she was pretty good in a lot of things, but she didn't want to stick with anything. She was more, a normal girl, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And was your wife athletic as well?
Well, yeah, of course, when she was in school the same time I was, the girls had nothing but cheerleading, but she played, we played golf, and she played tennis, and yeah, she was, if she had the opportunity, I think she would have been a pretty good athlete and something, you know.
Sure. Yes, and I know her name was Donna, and I know
Donna, right.
She passed away a few years ago, and very sorry about that. So anyway, when you go back to talk about your parents, what were their names?
Well, we
got John, yes, your father, John.
John was my dad's name, and my mom's name was Florence.
Florence. And did she work in the home, or just was a homemaker?
Well, she worked at home most of the time, and then it was when I was real young, we lived east of Springfield on a farm, and my grandpa and grandma, my mom and dad, we all lived together in this great big old house, and my dad worked nights at the post office, and my grandpa worked during the day. He was the bus dispatcher at downtown at the main hub, and he'd keep the buses on time and stuff like that. So they both farmed, you know, we had it was a small farm, and you know, of course we had, you know, the pigs, the chickens, the cows, and the whole bit. And I didn't come to town till I was in the second grade.
Oh, okay.
So I was, you know, my grandpa just passed away. He was young, like 52, if I remember right. He passed away. So we had to sell the farm and move into Springfield because my dad couldn't do both, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just impossible. So that was more or less how we got to Springfield when I was I was 8 years old, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So you moved right into the town, the city of Springfield at that time?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And what was your neighborhood like?
It was back in those days, I'm sure you heard of, it was Olive Chalmers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fiat Alice, I guess, or however. But anyhow, the big plant was just back behind us a couple blocks, and everybody that lived out in that area, many, many, many of the people worked at that plant. So it was just, nobody was rich in that area. Let's put it that way. I mean,
it
might have been
working class.
Yeah, it was working class, and it was definitely, there might have been some people that had money, but most of the people, I think, were pretty much not making too much money.
What was the first job you had as a youngster?
First job I had, I worked at Scheffler's Market back in the back, and they had chickens and turkeys and all that kind of stuff, and I worked back there, and if the chickens would get loose, I would be the one that run around the neighborhood and caught them. And bring them back to put them in a cage, and it was a bad job.
It made you a great shortstop, though.
It'd make you a good anything to get out of there. Let's put it that way.
Wow, well that's great. So, how did you get started? I know your father was a big influence on you playing baseball. Did you play other sports as well?
Yeah, I played basketball in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was a good basketball player. Back in those days, not everybody was 8 foot tall, so little guys could still play, you know. And Dick was a great basketball player, too. I mean, he had some... I think he had offers, full scholarships, like at Notre Dame, Indiana, and places like that. So, you know, he was pretty good.
And Jason's tall, isn't he?
Yeah, Jason was a good basketball player. He was an excellent player. I don't think that we took it serious like kids now. They play maybe one sport, and especially basketball, they play year round. I mean, they shoot 9 million shots a day, and I never did that. I picked up basketball the first day you could, and I played till we got beat, and I picked up my baseball glove. So that's how I did it. So, but it was I enjoyed it. Basketball, back in those days, it was very big in Illinois because so many smaller schools did not have football. So Basketball was really big.
Sure. Did your school have a baseball team?
Yeah, oh yeah, we had a baseball, yes, right. Yeah, so, and, we had, and I always played in the summer, and I always played on pretty good teams. We had as kid teams, we had a couple of teams that were really good. I mean, of course, we didn't have the tournaments and stuff like they. Well, after my junior year, we won the state tournament in American Legion Baseball. Mm. And, of course, that wasn't the best team I ever played on, though, as a kid. I played on a couple of teams that was much better than that team.
Did they have town teams back in those days?
Have what?
What they called town teams. Adults that would play town team.
They had all kind of amateur teams.
Amateur teams, yes.
And I played on we went to Battle Creek, Michigan, and stuff like that, and we had guys that were, I was 17, and we had guys 34 and 35 on the team, so. Mm. And Dick did the same thing. He played with some older guys, but I mean, he signed pretty quick and all that. So, but yeah, I would have played any time anybody wanted me to play. and Dick was the same way. I mean, we kind of, went that route. If we got a chance to play, we'd probably go play.
Were you always an infielder, or did you play other positions or do pitching?
No, I always played the infield.
Yeah, well, you sure were great at it. Now, I know that you're well known as one of the early bonus babies, and could you tell us a little bit about your experience as a bonus baby?
Well, I worked out with the Cardinals, so I knew them. They didn't know my name, and they could care less. But I had a chance. They didn't have the draft, so I could have signed with anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's if I so I had a chance to sign with probably 13 teams. Then they only had 16 back then, so I had a chance to sign with almost anybody. But the Cardinals offered me pretty good money, and a lot of money. I thought it was a lot of money, and so I signed with the Cardinals, and I was treated very well by every Cardinal player. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never heard one guy, say that I was taking up space or I shouldn't be there. They was all. I mean, I remember that very well. That they were very nice to me, and they tried to, help me, I could never complain about anybody that ever was on that team. I mean, I can remember I'd never been on an airplane before, so I left Springfield, and I flew to New York. I met the Cardinals in Brooklyn, and I walked in the hotel lobby with I don't know how many suitcases. I didn't know how where I was at or why. And Shandy's come over to me, and he just, because I, when I worked out in the infield, he was in the infield also taking ground balls or something. And he said, wait, when you get ready, we're going to go to the ballpark before long. He said, you can go with my roomie and me. And so I didn't know what a roomie was, actually. And so I just put my stuff up in my room, and I come down, and we got in a cab, and you know, his roomie was Stan Musial.
Oh, wow.
Well, so Stan Musial said, hey, he called me Lefty because he didn't know my name. He kept saying, Lefty, where you from, Lefty? How you doing, Lefty? Did you have a good trip, Lefty? I remember that. I remember that well because, you know, like I say, he couldn't be nicer, but he didn't know me from a bag of rocks. You know, I mean, that was just... And I just answered his questions because I didn't, you know, I wasn't too sure where I was at, you know, but I do remember
that. We were all of 18 years old then.
Yep.
Wow.
So you know, it was a little different. I never.
Oh my gosh, it'd be awful intimidating.
Yeah, but I never. I don't know. I followed baseball all my life, and my dad taught me how to play. I mean, he taught me how to play shortstop, and I could play in a game, and I'd go to the right place. I mean, I wouldn't be just standing in the middle of the field. I would be where I was supposed to be. I mean, nobody had to tell me, you know, how to play shortstop to a point. I mean, there's finer points, but my dad taught me. I would say he's the best coach I ever had.
Really? Well, he must have been a good coach because you were.
Yeah, I would say I'm not saying that the guys in the big leagues don't know what they're doing, but I just think that he could teach young kids how to play baseball. I mean. And like I say, we had some teams that were really good, and he took kids and just did little things to them to make them, they're not major league ball players, but they there's not many guys on our team though. We had Dick Buschka who went on to St. Louis University. And then he played on the Olympic teams in Melbourne in whatever year that was.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another kid that was an outfielder that
1952.
He went to the University of Illinois and University of Missouri. He was outstanding in every sport. Mm-hmm. So you know, and we had some guys that were good players, but my dad just. I mean, he was, he loved baseball, and I just think he helped so many young kids, and we had some hellacious teams as kids.
Mm-hmm. Was he able to see you, see you all the way through your major league career? Was he alive?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, he must have been so proud of you.
I think so.
Yeah, that's great. So you talked about roomies. Who was your first roommate with the St. Louis Cardinals?
My first roommate was Andy Anderson. He had kids as old as me. he was a catcher, like he was like the third string catcher, like with the Cardinals. And I think he was a pretty good football player at Kansas, I think, or someplace like that. And he was just, like I say, I think he had a boy like 16 or something like that. So,
would he assign you to a roommate, or how did they do that? Did he pick this man because he felt he would be a good mentor for you?
Yeah, well, I just think that he was a, you know, he was a pretty good family man, and he was, you know, he didn't, I don't think he drank and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think he put me with him because, I mean, it wouldn't bother him, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but we got to be pretty good friends, and I think I can't remember, but I think he passed away. I talked to his wife, and even after that, I called her once in a while, and we would talk, because we could kind of remember, you know, back when we was, you know, still playing, and he was my roommate. So, yeah, I kept in touch for a while, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's good. So in that early Cardinals team, I, you know, just checking my notes, some amazing players you were with. There was at that time Harvey Haddix and Stu Miller, Vinegar Ben Mizell, Jerry Staley, Del Rice, Steve Bilko.
Yeah.
So and Red Shandies, as you mentioned, Stan Musial, of course, and Ina Slaughter. Do you have any other recollections of any of the fellas on that club?
Well, I mean, Harvey Haddix was like, well, I don't know if he was a rookie or not, but he's 10 years older than me, but we kind of hit it off, and we become pretty good friends, because when I went to Pittsburgh, he came to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And so by that time, my wife and his wife were the same age. Harvey was older, of course, but we were just good friends, and I liked him, and he was one of my favorite guys that I ever played with. And I can't remember. There was a lot of the guys, when I left the Cardinals, Well, there was a different set of guys, like they come in, like Boyer and Blasingame. Mm-hmm. Blasingame and me were good friends. We lived together in Omaha. We played there, and we played in Cuba together and like that.
There was a photo I found of you and Don Blasingame in a Denver hotel, and the caption was about you were. Guys were getting ready for an exhibition game at the old Bears Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it was about as cold there as it was in Chicago today. it was freezing. Yeah. I remember being there. It was cold. That's all I can say. But you know, like Boyer and Blasingame and Joe Cunningham.
Oh yeah, Joe, he just passed away.
We all become pretty good friends. I mean, then I was traded to Pittsburgh. So those guys, I mean, I think Cunningham went to the White Sox. And so, you know, guys get spread around pretty quick sometimes.
Sure. Now, your first manager there was Eddie Stanky. Do you have any memories of him?
Well, he was kind of a crazy man. Yeah, he got me kicked out of a game before I was ever in one.
How'd that happen? So,
well, he threw a towel out of towards home plate, and the umpire come over and said, "Ed, we're trying to play baseball. Quit throwing towels." And he said, "Throw another towel and you're out of here." And so it was Augie Donatelli, who umpired forever, and we talked. He kid me about it once in a while, and like he turned around, went to home plate, and Stanky looked at me and said, "Throw a towel." So I didn't know anybody knew my name, so I just fired a towel out up towards home plate, and he come running back to the dugout, and he said, "Okay, Ed, who threw that towel?" He just pointed down at me and said, "Schofield threw that towel." So I got kicked out of the game before I was ever in one. So that was everybody, guys in the Cardinals were, they were crying, they was laughing so hard in the dugout because I, you know, he just got me kicked out of the game. So, but he was different. I tell you that he was a guy that was all about little things. I mean, I don't know. You had to weigh so much. You had to. I don't know, have your shoes tied all the time. He had to have, you know, you name it, and he was a crazy man on on little things, and he would, but he was very smart. I mean, as far as knowing baseball, probably nobody I was ever around knew more about baseball. I thought he knew more about what he was talking about than anybody, but he had a fetish for, I think, older guys, because older guys would get, you know, they get pretty set in their habits. Well, their habits didn't always go along with his thinking. And I think he liked young guys the best. I mean, but I would say that he knew baseball as well as anybody I've ever been around.
When you were the early years in St. Louis, you didn't get much playing time. And I was curious, you know, what was their thinking about that? You know, the bonus babies. I know you had to stay 2 years, the first 2 years with the club.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I mean, it was kind of funny. I mean, we went to New York and we played the Giants, and he just put me in the lineup and let me play. I hit a home run in Polo Grounds, and I played, you know. I don't think I made any errors or anything. I played pretty well, and then it was just like, well, you're not going to play anymore. And now that I look back on this, I should have looked around and found a team that had a shortstop. I'm not saying I'd be Robin Yount. I'm not saying I'd be any, but I would have been so much better off they'd say, just go play. If you hit 100, you hit 100, play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I needed.
Sure. But it's like teams like the Phillies, they could have used a good shortstop.
Well, I can remember when I was at St. Louis and Pittsburgh, I was going to be traded to the Phillies every year that I can remember. I was gone to the Phillies, and I'm still waiting to be traded, because that's all I hear the same thing every year. And see, those days you couldn't play out your option or anything. You couldn't, you know, you just hung up. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, but,
and the players' union at that time wasn't very strong, was it?
No, it was just getting underway in the 50s, early 50s. I think it started sometime in the late 40s, but you know, it had no power compared to, you know, like now.
Sure.
But you know, it's you did. I mean, you know, you don't know the different things. I mean, it would have been so much to my advantage to, even if I went someplace where, you know, you would play not maybe all the time, but you'd play in and out of the lineup or something. It would have helped me a whole lot. I mean, because that's, you know, when you're 18 and they send you up to hit, pinch hit, your chances are pretty slim You know, I mean, basically, you don't see enough of that pitching to adjust to it.
Sure.
But you know, I tell you what, I guess I could complain, but what the heck? I stayed there for a long time because I could play second base and shortstop and third base, and I play with some good teams and some great guys. So I don't think complaining is the thing I want to do.
Oh no, I think you put together a very good career. I mean, there were so many highlights. And you know, I was wanting to ask you, do you remember your first hit and who you got it off of?
Yeah, first hit was off in Brooklyn off Johnny Podras.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yep.
And was it a single?
Yep, hit a line drive over the shortstop's head.
Boy, that must have felt really good. I just could only imagine what it was like to be in the major leagues and get a base hit.
Well, it's pretty neat because I just, you know, that I was, I don't know how to explain it. And I remember when I hit my first home run, the guy I hit it off of, he later come to the Cardinals. And
who was that?
And I was Frank Smith.
Oh, Frank Smith.
Frank Smith was Cincinnati's best relief pitcher for a walk. I don't know how many years there. And then right at the end, he came to the Cardinals and he told me, don't matter how long you live, you'll never forget me. He said, you'll be telling people who you hit your first home run off of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty neat. He was a nice guy too. So there's a difference being just a guy and a nice guy. I would say that most of the guys were decent guys. I mean, I don't remember really. Oh, you know, there's some guys you like better than others. That's just normal.
Sure.
But I don't remember really say that I just didn't like this guy, and I never got into that too much. So I thought most of the guys I played with were pretty good guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there might have been a couple or three that were a little bit doubtful, but I didn't have any trouble with people. I don't remember, you know, everybody I seem to be around and teammates, we seem to get along pretty good.
It looks like you spent a couple of years with the Cardinals, and then you went to the minor league club there in Omaha, and did two stints there. And one I have here on record, you hit 11 home runs when you're in Omaha.
Yeah, that was in 56, I think.
Yes, 56. Yeah, so
yeah,
boy, you're good into you. that was power hitting.
Well, see, Pittsburgh. When I went to Pittsburgh, I mean, if you had home runs in Pittsburgh, you got to be Godzilla. I mean, it's just, you don't hit them. You just don't hit home runs. And I hit one home run there. That's all I hit. I mean, it was forever to hit the ball in Pittsburgh.
Oh, sure.
For a home run.
Yeah.
So it was a tough place to hit home runs. But when I played at Omaha, which is a big ballpark, I needed one more hit to hit 300 that year.
Yeah.
And then in the playoffs, we played Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And the first game I went 4-for-5. And the second game I went 6-for-7.
Ooh, wow.
And we beat them like 22-3 or something like that. And that's when Denver, they had Kubek and Richardson and Held.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they had Whitey Herzog. And they had Terry and Don Larson. I think they had eight guys went to the big leagues the next year.
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah. So they come back and beat us. We that's how good they were.
Yeah, now when you played at Omaha, your manager there was Johnny Keen.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah, when he won the World Series, he went from the Cardinals to the Yankees, and they fired Biggie Barra, and he didn't make out too good in New York.
No, he wasn't a New York guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a St. Louis guy, Cincinnati guy, something on that order.
In the Midwest,
he would have done well, but I just don't think New York was his lifestyle or his way of thinking. So, no, I think if he stayed at St. Louis, I would have been the shortstop.
Yeah.
But see St. Louis made a big trade. They traded Changes and I don't remember who they traded now. But we got Alvin Dark, and when he came there, their idea was they was going to make Boyer a center fielder, and Dark played third, and I play shortstop. Well, we started out in '58. That's how we did it. I was playing shortstop, and all of a sudden I'm reading in the paper where Dark said he was a shortstop, and if he didn't play shortstop, he wanted to be traded, or he wanted this or that. So that's when they traded me to Pittsburgh. So he went back to shortstop. Of course, in those days I was probably making $10,000, and he was probably making $50,000.
Oh.
That was a whole lot of money back then.
Oh, sure.
But so that had a lot to do with it, and I thought it kind of got not the best of the idea there, but that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. But like I say, you couldn't do nothing about it. And I couldn't say, okay, I want to be a free agent because I know I can sign with the Phillies. But that's the way it goes, you know.
Now, your manager at that time in the Cardinals was Fred Hutchinson. Now, he's got quite a reputation, as being very, very competitive. What can you tell us about Fred Hutchinson?
Well, I liked him. Thought he was a good guy, but when he got mad, it would be best not be real close because he's gonna break something. And they said when he pitched with Detroit, if he got knocked out of a game, there's a long tunnel. You walk clear back underneath, and then you go up to the clubhouse. They said he would break every light bulb in that tunnel. And so, after the game, you go through that tunnel like a coal mine. But he would argue with umpires. He'd get in their face.
Did you ever have a tough game where you reacted strongly, punching a locker or doing anything like that if you had a bad game?
I don't remember. Oh, I can remember, maybe tearing my shirt off and all the buttons fly too, but they had so many buttons on it, but I would throw it in my locker, but I never, I was with the Giants, and I guess, I don't know what happened, I can't remember, but after the game, I sat in the dugout, and I went over and I got my helmet, and I took that helmet and I beat that helmet into, pieces.
Wow.
Well, Eddie Logan, who was a clubhouse guy, he'd been with the Giants 1,000 years. Next year, when I come to spring training, there's a big box sitting on my locker, been shipped to me. And I opened that box, and it was that helmet. He had put that helmet together. He had taped it inside. It was all put together. And so that, I mean, guys used to do, I think guys used to do funny things. But see, you got to remember, it wasn't cell phones that everybody could take your picture and, you know, just send it around the world if you did something really stupid, you know.
Yeah.
So guys did a lot of stupid things, but not nowadays. You got, like I say, everybody, you know, taking, you know, cell pictures, that you just don't do it, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Boy, then, you know, I was looking at some of the people on the St. Louis club before you went for the Pirates, and boy, what a mix of players. Murray Dixon, Hal Smith, Hank Saar, Sam Jones, Hoyt Wilhelm, Eddie Casco, Wally Moon. Boy, Del Ennis, what a mix.
Yeah, you had a lot of guys that, you know, that were really nice guys, and we, you know, those guys, well, I came there as a kid, and then I went to Omaha, and I came back as a where I was, you know, I could play, I was ready to go, and so it changed quite a bit, and mm-hmm. some of those guys were still there, but some were not, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I say, I mean, when I was young, I was treated well by everybody at St. Louis, and then when I went to Pittsburgh, I thought, my God, Pittsburgh. I mean, they've finished last the last 8 years in a row, something like that.
They had awful teams.
No. And I get to Pittsburgh, and hell, we finished second that year. And
it was because you were there.
I don't know about that, but it just seemed like, you know, we had a pretty good team. And I thought, you know, like, and then it become, that was like, in 59, and I thought we were going to be better, and then 60, we were better. I mean, we were just, you know, we were just awful good, good pitching, and mm-hmm. we won games that we'd never win again. I mean, it's just that simple. We eventually, we won 5 games that there's no way we could ever win them, you know, and we come back and won those games. And that makes all the difference in the world. I mean,
sure.
Winning games that you're just, I mean, two games we had 2 outs and in the ninth inning, 2 outs and 2 strikes on the hitter. And we come back and won both games. I mean, it just,
we scored
7 runs one time and 5 another time.
It was a team of destiny.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was a really a good team, and there was, you mentioned earlier just about, there were some guys on that team that played, I mean, that were not starters, that really, really played well. Simoli, Rocky Nelson, mm-hmm. and myself. And we played better than the guys that we were playing.
and I
hate to say that, but it was just the truth. And, I mean, it makes a difference when you get, and Vinegar, myself, he pitched, that's the best he ever pitched in the big league.
Yeah, because he was a Cardinals pitcher too, but he found his stroke in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to ask you, now you were, when did you get married to your wife at this during that time?
1956.
56. Okay, so yeah, you were early in. So you were only like 21 when you got married.
Yep.
Wow.
In fact, I got married in Omaha. I told her, just come to Omaha, we'll get married. We ain't gonna wait after the season, like an idiot. She said yes, and We should have waited. It'd have been easier, but I don't know. But she was a great lady, so I can't complain.
Did you know her growing up? Did you go to school
with her? It's kind of a, when I was a senior in high school, we played basketball in Peoria, Illinois. We played Peoria Central, and she lived at Canton, Illinois, and they played Manual. And so a kid that went to Canton High School, and they kind of dated or something in high school, and they were, you know, and he introduced me at her at the basketball game. So, make a long story short, it's kind of strange because she come to Springfield, her folks moved to Springfield, and I was like downtown one night. I come out of a store. There she was standing on the corner. She's catching the bus home after work. And so this was like in, 55. And I talked to her for a minute. And so, make a long story short, I went to Cuba. Mm-hmm. And I think like that winter or something like that, she was, went to the hospital. She was abducted when she came out of the hospital by a black guy. And he wanted to rob a store. He wanted to do this. Well, she ended up getting shot. Oh. And she was lucky. It went in her stomach, like, and out her stomach, and then up through her arm. And she got out of the car and ran into a filling station. And lucky enough, the guy stopped the, tried to stop the bleeding in her arm. And then I came home after the next season, like after that season. I didn't know much about it or anything. And my mom worked at a bank, and she come home from work and she said, Get her to come in the bank. I seen the day. Well, she told me, and I called her up, and I think we was together every day that winter, and went to the spring training. We got married the next summer, so it was one of those meant to be things.
Sure. Did she recover from her wounds?
Yeah, she's lucky. But I mean, her arm was a serious thing. They wasn't sure they was going to be able to save her arm.
Wow.
But they did. I mean, she had some scars on it, but you couldn't. I mean, you really couldn't tell it. But she's lucky, let's put it that way, that he didn't kill her. I mean, so, because this guy was, I guess he was a maniac of some kind. They caught him someplace in Indianapolis or something like that. So he left on it. I mean, he was hopping trains from one town to the next or something. Mm. So, but that, she got over it and she was fine. So it was all worked out pretty good.
Wow, that's some story. Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story. I mean, to come out of it like she did.
So I wanted to ask you about the trade when Pittsburgh acquired you at that time. There was an exchange for Gene Freese and Johnny O'Brien. How was your reaction? Of course, you said it, you thought you were going to a losing team, and it wound up being a really good thing for your career. I wanted to ask. Were you always a switch hitter, from a young man?
Young guy. Yeah.
And I noticed on some of your baseball cards and photos, you used to choke up on the bat quite a bit. And in other photos, I know that you didn't. Was that something you usually choked up on? Used a heavier bat?
Yeah, I think I choked up more right hand than I did left handed.
And how would you, one of the things I was trying to find was what your batting average was for left-handed and right-handed. I couldn't seem to find it. Do you know what?
No, I'm really not sure about that. I mean, I have people send me stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a guy, he sent me a thing and he said, You said you hit 406 against Drysdale, and against Spahn and Verdette, you hit 333. And then he'd say, "Well, how come you didn't get no hits off this guy here? And how come you didn't get no hits off that guy?" And I'm thinking, "Well, you got something there, buddy, because I remember those guys, and Chris Short with the Phillies was I couldn't hit him with a handful of bats. I mean, he was I don't know why he didn't win 30 games a year. I mean, he was tough. I mean, to me, he was really tough. Now, Philadelphia had some tough pitchers. They had some guys that could throw hard. I mean, they had Farrell and Jack Sanford and guys like that. I mean, Robert is from Springfield.
Oh, is he? He from Springfield? Oh, okay. So did you got to know him pretty well, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I knew him, but he was gone. He wasn't even around here. So I didn't really know him or anything, but as soon as we got to the big leagues, he came over, introduced himself, and talked to me for a while. So I would talk to him all the time.